Okay, I guess, yep, that's working. Good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a second and ask his blessing on this time together. Father, I ask for your grace that you would speak through my efforts here and that your kingdom would be furthered, that you would grant us all ears to hear and hearts that would humbly obey you. In Christ's name, amen. A couple things. I'm up here because the elders wanted to put my name forward for election as elders, and they thought it would be a good idea if you heard me attempt to preach. Not a bad idea. I will not be here for that membership meeting, but it is not because I'm not committed. I'll be in Africa. And I've known of people that were crazy enough to think they were omnipotent, they could do anything. They couldn't, but they were that crazy. But I never met anybody crazy enough to think they could be omnipresent. That's in two places at once. So I can't be there and here. So I'll be gone at the meeting, but it's because I'll be away. Africa. But at any rate, that's one thing. Second thing, the scripture was Psalm 23. And as the Lord worked with me in preparing this, I have some other scriptures I'm going to focus on. However, that is a great section to meditate on after you hear this. So if you're looking for Psalm 23 and what I'm going to say, it won't come up. But I think it's worth reading it the rest of the week and thinking about how it fits, because it does. So, if you could pick an animal to be, you could pick any kind of animal, you're going to be that animal, what would you pick? I've heard people talk about that more than you could think. Especially silly people that believe in reincarnation. They say, I want to come back, and they say an eagle, or a dolphin, or a lion, or a wolf, or a horse or something, right? I've heard all that. So you probably heard people talk about, I want to come back as a, they are silly because statistically, if you're going to come back, if reincarnation was true, which it's not, you'd be an ant or a termite or a beetle. I never heard anybody say, I want to be a dung beetle when I come, but anyway. But there is no coming back. It's truly, scripture says it's one and done. Said, there, to men is appointed to die and then come judgment. But pretend a minute, if you could be an animal, what would it be? Well, the Lord has described us as animals in scripture. He has picked one out for us. Despite what I would like to be, he has picked out an animal, and it's a sheep. That's not all people, but his people. When he redeems you, you become a sheep, okay? And we know this because he tells us. Psalm, and I'll read it here, 95. I will read the first seven verses. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. And listen to this, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then just a little bit farther in Psalm 100, again, about singing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And, of course, if you went to Psalm 23, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, eagles don't have shepherds. People don't have shepherds. Sheep have shepherds. Scripture's pretty clear. And these two sections I just read say we're supposed to sing with gladness because we are God's sheep. Now, I'm supposed to be so happy I sing and shout because I'm a sheep. Why sheep? God doesn't tell us why he picked us as sheep. You know, they're not very glorious. I mean, an eagle's kind of glorious, right? A wolf, a lion, right? A lot of countries use the lion as a symbol. You know, Rome did, England did, Persia did, you know. We use the eagle. I never see anybody using sheep. I mean, they're dumb. When you know, they're dumber than horses. Horses are a lot smarter, and horse ain't that bright. They're way stupider than dogs. We use dogs to move sheep around. They're even dumber than cows, which are pretty dumb. And that says a lot. Sheep are stupid. They're not aggressive. Cows can be, believe it or not, can be aggressive. Cow run you over. Sheep don't. They're not aggressive. Right? These Psalms told us to make a joyful noise. Sheep can't even do that. Right? The noise they make is annoying. They take a lot of care. You know, there's animals that don't. Sheep do. And if you leave them alone, they get into trouble, right? They're always getting lost, hung up in the fences, whatever. They're just a lot of trouble. However, with the right shepherd and under the right care, they're valuable. And a lot of cultures, the amount of sheep you have tells how wealthy you are. They're very important under the right care and the right shepherd. So, I don't know why God calls us his sheep, but I know it's true because he said it, right? So I can believe it. Therefore, if I'm his sheep, my job is to be a good sheep, not a bad one, right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Now, we're going to use off and on in this talk Barbara's cows. We're going to make them famous. Barbara has a herd of cows, okay? Not a flock, but it's her same thing, though, in some ways. Ranchers, not Barbara, ranchers, real ranchers, select cows for a lot of reasons. How fast they grow meat production, how many calves they bear, you know. Sometimes they'll pick cow because breeds because it does well in hot weather or cold weather, right? They select cows for a lot of reasons. That's not how Barbara selects cows, however. She selects cows for temperament and disposition. If, according to her words, if you are a, quote, love cow, where you like to be scratched and you're affectionate, you get to stay in the herd, right? You can get fed the rest of your life. However, if you're a mean cow, or you jump fences, or you butt the other cows, or you charge, you get culled, okay? And you're no longer in the herd. And it's my experience, there are times when God looks at his flock, and there's good sheep and bad sheep, and sometimes he culls, okay? So that's a reason, one of the many, many reasons that we ought to be thinking about, okay, I'm God's sheep, how can I be a good sheep? So I want to talk this morning about the rules. They're not many. I've got four rules for being a good sheep, and one of them is in two parts. So I don't know whether that's five or not. It's four. And that's good because sheep aren't very bright, all right? So we don't need many. Now, the Christian life, being a good Christian, is not complicated. It's hard, and there's a difference, you know? It's actually pretty simple, the things you need to do. They're just hard to do them. And so we'll talk about that some, all right? So, rule number one, all right? Going back to Psalm 95 where we started, I'll read it again. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Rule number one, remember, I am a sheep. Okay? That's not complicated, it's just hard. I keep forgetting that. Keep thinking I'm a lion or an eagle or some other thing. I'm not. I'm a sheep. Okay? Created specifically by God. He said in that Psalm 95. He made the earth, he made the seas, he made everything that's in it, and he made us to be his sheep, okay? So he made me a believer. If it wasn't for God, you know, I don't know what I'd be, but it certainly would not be here this morning worshiping with you, you know? But he intervened in my life, and I need to remember that. I am a sheep because he made me a sheep. He rescued me. I'm going to turn to John chapter 10, which you probably should keep your finger on. And I'm going to read a bunch of things from this chapter. That's why we read it this morning. But I'm going to read first five verses, 24 through 29 of John 10. This is Christ talking to the Jews. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who is given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." That's an interesting set of verses. It says, Bob Bucher, you're a believer in Christ Jesus because he made you one. So I am in God's flock because he made me one. These Jews, he didn't say, you're not part of my flock because you don't believe. He said, you don't believe because you're not part of my flock. Okay, they don't even have the capacity to believe unless God redeems them and changes their heart. So, I am God's sheep. I have faith in Christ, but it's a gift. He gave it to me. I didn't generate it. I didn't wake up one morning and figure this out. I am his sheep. He made me. That's why I believe, okay? And that's true for every single one of us. Now, what does that mean? Because God came and rescued me. I believe him because I'm part of his flock. What does he want me to do? Well, don't turn there. I will. It's also simple, but hard. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. Do what's right, be kind, and walk humbly with the Lord. That's not complicated, just hard. So I need to remember, again, rule number one, I'm his sheep. I need to walk with him humbly, not thinking I'm a lion or a guard dog or this or that. No. Or I like to think I'm the shepherd sometimes. I'm a sheep. Okay? That's a great advantage. A great advantage. Because back there in John 10, Christ also said, I know my own and I keep them. Right? Sheep are valuable to the shepherd. And that's what he's saying. It's a great thing to be a sheep. We don't get permanently lost or mislaid or sold or traded or stolen. You know, that may happen temporarily. We may get mislaid and you may wander away. If you belong to the Lord, you got his brand, he's going to count. And if he's missing you, he's going to come get you. When you're his sheep, you're his. Forever. Okay? It's so encouraging to me because John, back in 10, verse 28 and 29, which I read, I'll read it again. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So I'm held in Christ's hand, okay? And nobody can snatch me out, including me. Then he goes on, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So the picture is that we are held like this between Christ and the Lord, and I'm his sheep, and the Father and Christ have both got me, and I'm secure. Okay? And that's good, because sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes I'm discouraged, or I have doubts, or I'm afraid, you know, and I need to remember, I'm God's sheep, and he has me, and nobody can take me. Because there's a day that's coming when being God's sheep is going to be the most important thing, and I won't say on the planet, because the planet won't exist then. It says it'll be consumed, and heaven and earth will flee away. It'll be the most important thing there is. I'm going to read you some of the scariest verses in the scripture from Matthew chapter 25, three verses, 31 through 33. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Okay? Christ returns with his army of angels. He's on a glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. So all the people that ever lived are going to be gathered. No place to hide, no place to run, right? And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. So we're all assembled. Christ is on his throne, right? I'll bet there'll be a lot of people trying to sidle up to Moses and some other people getting away from Hitler or whatever, right? I'm going to get in the right spot. Not going to be any good because it said he's going to separate them personally. This group here, goats over here, sheep over there. That's the day when you're going to be so grateful you're a sheep because in verse 34, he says, the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what happens to the sheep, okay? But then, in verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Sheep go into a kingdom prepared for them by the Father, and they're blessed. The goats, there is a punishment that's eternal, fit for the devil, and the goats go in there with him forever. So there's coming a time when the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is to be a sheep, you know? And this scripture in Matthew, by the way, is clear. The sheep say, why us? They can say, we didn't do anything. And the answer is, you're right. I am going to go into the kingdom prepared for us, not because of what I did, but because Christ in his mercy made me a sheep. And yeah, I don't deserve it. I deserve to be with the goats in that fire, you know? So rule number one for being a good sheep is remember you're a sheep. Great advantages to that, though, you know? And no matter what happens to you in life, you can take great comfort and hope. One day all this will be behind us. We're going to be there a whole lot longer we're here. Whatever bad things happen here, you won't be thinking about them on that day when the Lord separates us and you're on the right, not on the left, you know? So that's rule number one. Remember your sheep. Rule number two. Follow the shepherd. Of course, rule number one's important. If I don't think I'm a sheep, I have no business following shepherd, right? Lions don't follow shepherds. You know, sheep do. So you got to remember your sheep. Number two, follow the shepherd, okay? And who is that shepherd? Well, back to John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. That's Christ speaking. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, rule number two for being a sheep is follow Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus only, okay? Now, that includes, by the way, other scriptures tell us he appoints under-shepherds like pastors. So if you're going to, don't say you're following Christ when you're not following the person that he's put underneath him as an under-shepherd. So rule two, follow the shepherd. And that is a mark of a believer. Again, back to chapter 10 of John, in verse 3 to 5, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. And that's nice. He knows my name. I'm just not sheep number 8,726. I'm Bob Bucher to him. And in fact, it even says I'm going to get a special love name that only he and I will know. I mean, and you know, when you're married, we're not going to talk about what Barbara calls me, but we have love names, right? And I'll have one with the God. At any rate, he says, The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, which is a good thing, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So the mark of a believer is he follows the shepherd, he follows Christ Jesus. You know, people lie about everything, you know, I've heard, and in life, and they lie about being a believer. But you can't live, you watch what people do, you can't live false. So real believers, real redeemed, follow the shepherd. It says there, we hear his voice now, and we follow him. Christ has spoken to me personally many, many times. Many times, personally. But never in a voice, audibly. I've never heard a voice, Bob. Probably I never do because it won't, you know, I don't know that my heart will stand it. But he has spoken to me many times. But he does it through this. He's constantly speaking. If you're going to follow and be a good sheep and follow the shepherd's voice, it's out of scripture, okay? We have to turn the volume up. The world is blasting all kinds of other things to distract us. If you want to hear Christ's voice, because he's not shouting, he's speaking with a still small voice in his word, you have to take his word and open it and read it constantly. If you don't do that, you're not listening. And the world will drown it out, and then you'll follow some other voice, you know? That's not complicated to open the scriptures, right? Rules for being a sheep. Read the Bible. Not complicated, just hard. Got to be disciplined every day. That's just hard. Second thing is to follow him. It's not just read it and say, that's interesting. It's read and heed, you know? Try to do what he's saying. That's how you follow the shepherd. That's sort of rule two. One, know you're a sheep. Two, follow a shepherd. 2A, I said one, he said two parts. In following the shepherd, sheep are flock animals, okay? Right? They like the flock. Sometimes the flock doesn't follow the shepherd. It goes a different way. Back to Barbara's cows. They're herd animals, right? And so Barbara has pasture and she has it fenced off into different sections, and sometimes the whole herd decides that other side of the fence is the better place to be, and one cow goes over and then all the other ones, they follow it because they're herd animals, right? That can happen in life, and you can follow the crowd, even crowd of Christians. There's good to that, but what you got to say is, do I see the shepherd out in front of them? Because if they're going into the other pasture and the shepherd's over here, you need to be with the shepherd. So, follow the shepherd, even if it means the flock leaves you, okay? And that means you got to be in the Word, because there are churches that do not follow the Word of God, and you won't know that unless you know the Word, you know? And the flock may not understand why it's in the... Barbara sometimes keeps the cows in this side of the pasture because she sprayed pesticide on the other side to kill weeds, and you got to wait 90 days before the cows is safe to eat the grass, right? They don't know that. They just see that's big, luscious. In fact, it even looks better because it doesn't have any weeds in it. It's nice. And they want to go there, and Barbara's so mean, you won't let me go across the fence. The same way with the Lord. He knows better than we do. Sheep... Again, rule one, I'm a sheep. I don't understand things. The shepherd understands things. He knows what's safe and what's not. So I need to follow him, even if it looks pretty luscious over there. Even if all the other guys are over there. If it's the Lord's leading, stay with the Lord. So that's sort of rule 2A. 2B is the opposite. If the flock is following the shepherd, which you hope we are, stay with the flock, okay? It's the animal that strays away that gets picked off by the predator, okay? I've probably shouldn't say this, but I'm a hunter. Those of you who know me know that I hunt, right? So I one time had a time to go to Africa and hunting wildebeest, which is like a small American buffalo, but more vicious. At any rate, herd of a couple thousand. I thought, how hard can this be? We're going to sneak up. Any rate, it's very hard because a couple thousand wildebeest, right? They're eating. 100 of them are always looking. You know, somebody else, most of them are eating, but there's always a bunch of them up. And you'd get up within a couple hundred yards, and one of those hundred would see you, and they'd all run. They'd run another 5 miles, and then you'd have to go chase them. Ooh. Any rate, it's different ones watching all the time, but what it meant was most of them could be eating because every now and then everybody gets up and looks around. It's the same way in the church. There's more of us. And so we're all watching. If you're by yourself, on your own, the predator can get you. But you're looking out for me, and you say, Bob, I saw this or that or heard this or that, and you need to think about it. You know, we watch out for each other. So when the flock is following the shepherd, stay with the flock. Somebody's looking, and maybe we'll spot the wolf coming, right? You know, that's why in Hebrews it says, don't forsake the assembly. If we're not together, you get picked off, okay? So we're supposed to be in the flock as long as the flock is following the shepherd. So that's sort of rule 2A is don't follow the flock away from the shepherd, but 2B, if the flock's with the shepherd, stay with the flock, okay? Rule 3, to be a good sheep, don't muddy the water, trample the grass, or shove the other sheep around, okay? The art of being a good sheep is to get along with the rest of the herd. This sheep that muddies the water or tramples the grass is a sheep that's following the shepherd. He knows he's a sheep. He's staying with the flock. He's following the shepherd. But he's a pain in the neck to everything around him, right? Well, Barbara feeds her cows again. And she'll come out there at night and have a separate bucket for all of these cows, right? A separate, it's got their own mix in it. She got buckets for old cows and young cows and bigger bucket for the bull. And she starts putting it out there. But she can only put out one at a time. They all show up, and every one of them is convinced that the other cow's got something special or luscious or just a little bit better in his bucket. Tonight, he's got a candy bar or something in there because I don't want to wait. I want that bucket. And so they all go over that one, and the next one comes down. They all run over there, and they're butting each other and shoving and pushing. Eventually, it gets settled out every single night. Everybody eats, and they're fine, except they aren't at first. Push, shove, punch. Sometimes they do that so much they tip the bloody food over and it's on the ground. And nobody gets it. The other night, you know, she has water troughs for them. They had pulled the water trough so far away that you couldn't refill it. They had to move it back. So they'd ruined it, right? That's true with us, okay? There are sometimes some of us in the church that with everybody else saying, I'm kind of not sure that was a good addition to the church. That person causes more trouble, right? And you'd say, and that actually the Lord used this description. I'm going to read something. Ezekiel's one of my favorite books. And so I'm going to read a passage from Ezekiel, chapter 34, 15 through 24. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God. Now we better listen. Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you've trodden with your feet and drink with what you've muddied with your feet? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you push with the side and the shoulder and thrust all the weak with your horns till you've scattered them abroad. And I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. That's not a verse about keeping livestock. Those are verses about how Christians live together, and the Lord is tired of his people causing problems for other people in the congregation. Same is true today. I know we don't have food buckets out here. We don't have a water trough, but we criticize each other. We say bad things and hurtful things. You know, sometimes we criticize our under-shepherds, our leaders. We're discontent. Well, that could have been better. I didn't like the church supper or whatever. You know, we do those kind of things. And what this verse says is God sees what we do in the flock. He cares what we do. He judges it. And then he acts. Okay? And he will call. If you're the kicking over the water trough all the time, the Lord is patient, but not forever, right? So we need rule 3 says, you know, get along with the flock. So there's some things to do with that. Before you say something or do something, ask yourself, 1, will this help God's kingdom? If it won't, don't say it or do it. 2, if it helps the kingdom, will it help the church? In our case, Providence. Does what I'm going to say help the church? If you get past that, will what I say or do help my brother? In other words, will it help Bob Bucher or Barbara or whoever, right? If it's good for the kingdom, good for the church, and good for the brother. And then finally, am I doing or saying it out of love? Because if you're not, it's not of the Lord. That's 3 rules. Remember, you're a sheep. Follow the shepherd. Don't muddy the water. Finally, rule 4, trust the shepherd. And I put that last. It could go in different order because it's really related to following him, okay? We talk about all the sheep stuff, and we say that's good, and he is our shepherd, and that is good. That is a great thing, okay? However, everybody in the world, I've heard 1,000 times, reads these verses from Romans 8:38 and 39. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, or things present or things to come, nor powers or height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's true. Nobody, though, reads the stuff that comes about 4 verses before, which is verse 36. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, what does that mean? That means sometimes the shepherd leads his flock into a place where really bad things happen. Okay? That's why in Psalm 23 it says, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many Christians have had the loss of a loved one, or lost a job, or got a fatal disease? A lot of us. None of us yet have been literally taken out and shot for being a believer. Maybe it happens someday. It is in other parts of the world. But many, many of us have had terrible tragedies in our life. And believers, right? That doesn't mean that God's not sovereign, or that he doesn't care, or that he's forgotten his sheep. It isn't. It means sometimes sheep are used to be slaughtered. Well, that doesn't sound nice. Well, who did it first? It says Christ went like a lamb to be slaughtered and was sacrificed. Did he accomplish anything with his death? Yes. It was the greatest demonstration of God's glory ever, and it rescued all of us. So sometimes he leads us through suffering as his sheep to accomplish his glory and his will. Did it work out for Christ in the end? Yes, and it will for us. Doesn't mean you won't suffer, though. You know, it was a terrible time for Jesus in the garden and on the cross, and he took the wrath of God, but it was a tremendous victory. So you may have a fatal disease. It may not be cured. You may lose your job. You may have a family member die. All these terrible things may happen. But it may also really be for God's glory and to advance his kingdom. And as we read in Matthew, one day when he separates the sheep from the goat, that won't be on your mind. What will be on your mind is, I'm going into God's kingdom forever. So, final rule is trust the shepherd, no matter where he leads you, because he knows what he's doing. The sheep don't understand it, but the shepherd does. The same thing with life. You know, you can trust the man who died for you to keep his promises, you know? So, never forget you're a sheep that belongs to God. Follow the shepherd, and that means listen to his voice and his word. Don't make it hard on other people in the church, and then trust him no matter where he leads you. At any rate, the rules for being a good sheep. Let me close with prayer. Father, we praise your name that you bind up the injured, you find the lost and the strayed, and you gave your life for us, and that we are the sheep of your pasture. And we thank you that you're the good shepherd, Lord Jesus. You laid down your life for the sheep, and you know them. Grant us hearts that we would listen to your voice, and that we would trust you and follow you, and that we would be good sheep in your pasture. In Christ's name, amen.